Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This week we're talking about A Symbol with Care, released back in October of 2019, developed and published by Us2 Games, and available on PC and Mac. A little summary of the game is, from the studio who brought you Monument Valley comes a story about a globe-trotting antique restorer as she arrives in the sun-soaked town of Bella Riva. She has no idea just how broken it will turn out to be. For those listening, we always do a little question. We do introductions with a little question so that those listening can know who you're listening to and kind of get to know us a little bit better, because we're friends. And our questions always have to do with the game that we're discussing. This week, our question is, if you could be an expert at fixing one type of item, examples would be like violins, printers, music boxes, etc. What type of item would you choose to be an expert on, like fixing it if it breaks? Starting at the top.
This is the top speaking, Franco. I guess... if I can say desktop, just this, the desktop computers, not laptops. Laptops are way too compact for my taste. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty good at desktop computers. I'm pretty good at that. So, and everything's manageable for me. I got kind of big hands, so that comes into consideration.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And next?
This is Chris, and... speaking from experience, no one really wants to be an expert in printer repair. But other than that, I don't know, because it's like I said, I've fixed printers and copiers for 5 years, and I'm an IT technician by trade, so I'm fairly competent in that end of the spectrum there. But I think if I had to pick something, I think it would be probably more along the lines of like electrician in that respect, of like not just like tiny little electronics, but more like electrical wiring within like the house or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Makes sense. This is Steph. And this has nothing to do with like what I currently do with my life at all, but I've always been fascinated with like clocks and music boxes. So either one of those would be lovely. Like, I would love to like be able to dive into a clock and fix it. Or into like, there's not a lot of them, but like intricate music boxes. I don't know why I find them so fascinating, but or why that's like maybe if I wasn't artistic, maybe that's something that I would have done with my life. I couldn't imagine me being a clockmaker, but it just sounds lovely. It sounds wonderful to just be able to fix a clock.
It's definitely an art to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sharing. We'll get right into talking about the game. Again, we're talking about A Symbol with Care by Us2 Games. So this is a very, we kind of threw this game in to kind of cover, a game that none of us have really had time to play, one of our month chats. But it was a very lovely little game, but not a huge amount to talk about. Lasted about a couple of hours. How did everyone... I know, Chris, you said that yours just lasted... Did your playthrough last only, like, a little over an hour?
Yeah, it was like an hour and 2 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I clocked it... Well, Steam tells me I clocked it at 2 hours, so I must have been dragging my ass.
Yeah, there was... yeah, and we can get that with the puzzles, but there were a couple times where I had to, like, I almost got the piece back together, but then I had to, like, I realized, oh, I still have two screws in here, and I've screwed everything up. So I would have to unscrew and go back in. As far as controls go, we'll start with the nitty-gritty. How did you like the controls for this game?
the most frustrating part was the camera angle. Well, I don't necessarily say you could say the camera angle, but the angles that the models kept snapping to, I guess. And, like, it was too fluid in a way when you had the rotate locked in. Because if you just wanted to rotate it just a little bit to get the right angle, like, just the wrong mouse move would just take it in just a completely wrong angle, and then you'd have to, like, wildly move your mouse around to get it back to where you wanted it to go. And then there were other times where when you go to grab the screwdriver, the model snaps to, like, the perfect view for the screw, but you got the model in the right spot, or the item, I should say, so that you could easily reach, like, all the screws, but then the item would snap to just, like, for that screw, so then you'd have to rearrange it again.
So it
was just, and the other thing, too, is, like, it would have been nice if, when there were multiple screws and you selected the screwdriver, that you just hung on to the screwdriver rather than having to click on it the whole time.
You stole my thunder there. Yeah. Like, if you just, or when you selected a screw, it automatically picked up the screwdriver.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
And then the work area was kind of a little too small, because there were times where you would go to either click on an item or click out to, like, get out of the rotate, or just, like, click on the workspace, but you would accidentally click on the, like, the blank space on where that part would go. So it would, it would zoom out of that part and put it in that space. So then it's like, no, that's not what I wanted to do, because you're clicking around and all of a sudden it's like, wait, what just happened? so it just it felt like it was too crowded at points where you didn't have enough empty space to safely click and not have something happen that you didn't want happening.
Right. No, yeah, I would totally agree with that. I had issues with things similar. The screwdriver, you would get it to where you would have that perfect view of all the screws, and then, like, it would automatically snap the camera angle into a certain position. And then there were some things with, like, at least with me, this is something I noticed, and maybe it's because I have a very limited space for my mouse, on the mouse pad. And I would get to the screws and I would do, like, I think it was with both the screwing in and the unscrewing. I would do, like, the kind of slide with my mouse that would turn it, and it would always
come up short.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It would always come up short, like, just a little bit. And then I'd be like, I'd have to, like, do it just a hair more, and then it would, like, unscrew. And I was like, okay, that's strange. Like, every screw I had to do that with.
It would have been nice if the action was to move your mouse in a circle rather than because you could tell at that point that was optimized for a phone screen. Because it would have made a whole lot more sense to do it in a circle rather than just dragging the mouse off
in one direction.
Because it was also annoying, too, because it's like you're clicking and then it's like you have to drag the mouse. It's like, but that's not a natural motion for that.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking that, or the scroll wheel, scroll up and down, up for. Yeah. That, and, you know, using when you're into the 3D rotate, use the scroll wheel for horizontal, you know. That would be some. Yeah, nicer.
I also would have really liked to been able to zoom in a bit more.
Yeah,
on certain things. True. Yeah.
Especially when it came to, like, if you did the addendum, the coffee machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then like the little things that you had to click in, the little wires or whatever.
Yep.
There were some times where I was having trouble seeing like the symbols, but then also I played it in windowed mode for some reason. I guess I'm a masochist. That alone was kind of like, I kept like clicking out the window and having to go back to the window. And then I was too lazy to just exit the game and start it again in full screen. But yeah, I had a hard time seeing like the little symbols because you had to match up the symbols and like where the holes were to put the wires into. So a zoom in, zoom out feature would have been wonderful, even if it was just like not even you had to control, just being like, hey, I just want to see this a little bit closer, let you see a little bit closer. And then even if it like zoomed back out, like that would have been super helpful. Mm-hmm. So with the puzzles, or, you know, with the things, the items that you had to fix, did you have a favorite?
I think it was between Game Boy SP or the coffee machine.
Yeah,
the coffee machine was, it was difficult, but in the end I was like, man, that was kind of satisfying. The watch.
Yeah.
The watch was satisfying once you got it all back together.
Yes, it was.
I know there were a lot of parts on the watch and a lot of, different steps you had to take.
That watching that music box, man, I was in a happy place. I was like, and I do have to say, like, I kind of had this brought up a little bit later, under miscellaneous, but like the audio design for this game, like, I mean, the music, it was good, but like the sounds of things were just amazing. If you had headphones on, like, I was like, oh, like my ASMR self was extremely happy.
A satisfying click when you insert it.
So satisfying. My goodness.
Steph wants to be a band roadie in real life, just jacking in and jacking out.
It was great. I would say the coffee machine was very satisfying as well. For like an extra thing they threw in. But then I enjoyed the watch and the music box. The game machine was fun. They all had something about them that was, and I like how it kind of worked up to like smaller things and then working up to a little more complicated items. Honestly, I could just be doing those all day. Like, the story was nice. But like, I could just like, just give me a game of like 50 of these, like fixing puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, it was for, at least for me, it was tough at parts was the cooking pot and cooking the soup.
Oh yeah.
Cause at first I saw the image of it. I'm like, what is this? That must be a European thing with that, with the three things that hold up the pot or whatever. Yeah.
With the little can of propane on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like made it seem like, for me at least, they made it seem like the soup was done before I put all the ingredients in. Because you had the list of ingredients and I only put like a couple of things in. And they were like, okay, like this is ready to serve up. And I was like, but I don't. So I just ended up adding what the ingredients actually said to put into the soup before serving it. I think I might have put in too much of one object because some of the ingredients were a little like smeared or something, if I remember.
Yeah, I was confused. Well, I'm assuming the onions was the one you put all the onions in. It said a bunch of something in it. All the other items were had exact amounts except the onions. So it was
for me, it was the carrots. The carrots confused me. I think that's what I put in too much of. And so it was like, oh, you must be dumb because you put in this many items, because I just put in like all of the carrots except for the ends. I was just like,
I did the exact opposite. I did, because I thought it was, from what I read, it's like half a carrot. And the only thing that represented half a carrot was the the carrot at the bottom.
Oh, the end.
Like it had with the half. But I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if there was a right or a wrong there. There may not have been.
That just shows Stephanie's cooking expertise. I looked at all of these carrots chopped up, and I was like, this might be a half a carrot. Just dump them all in. And the game's like, oh, okay, you're making carrot soup. All right, you're good. We can start with you. You can serve this. A fun question. If there were any like extra, because like the coffee machine was a little extra thing. If there were any extras added in, any other ones, what would you like to see as a fixable item? And would you want to see like another character other than names that I can't remember fix the item other than, you know, the main character that we mostly played throughout the game?
Question.
Yeah.
I want like a television set.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah. Like not like a flat screen, but like an old style television. Like not old, but yeah, nineties.
Tube TVs.
Yes.
The correct. Last of the tubes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to be careful there though, because those things can kill you.
Discharge. Yes.
That's what makes it more the most exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge electromagnetic charge in that tube.
Yep.
And I really loved
more along the memories idea. I thought maybe like a VCR or maybe a DVD player or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally go for a VCR for sure.
Maybe like a electric scooter type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. Yeah, I really liked, it was really satisfying to me too, like gluing the statue back together.
Oh, yeah.
I would take another like 20 of those as well. Like just.
that was a small jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
I have a really weird niche with these things. I get like, I'm just like, yeah, I just want like, give me just things that are broken and I just want to glue them together with this glue that like just, it was really nice. Although I kind of wish this kind of goes back to controls. I kind of wish that you pressed a button to start the glue.
Yeah.
Instead of it just going as soon as you, because I was going to be like precise. And then all of a sudden I take the glue and I like that first thing that you have to glue and you put it over and it's like, everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, yeah, you can't undo it. You like can't stop the train.
It was like the foamed milk with the espresso.
That was a total disaster.
Yeah. Like, but I wanted to try and make something, but it's like it's just automatically just starting to pour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's not really how you do it. It's sort of like you put that heavy cream in there, and then you take like a stick and you drop it to stick.
Yeah. Apparently. You put some of the cream in there, and then you put the espresso, and then you put more cream in there, and then you take the stick and like make your art on the coffee.
Yeah, this was the lazy way of doing it.
Yeah,
but yeah. The glue was kind of wild. I had the same reaction with the glue. It was like, wait, it's just coming out. Wait.
Oh god, like this is just like elementary school again.
And it was just after. It was just after the mayor saying, it was like, you're not going to be able to see the glue after it dries, right? And I'm like, no. And then it's like, wait, this glue's getting everywhere.
It's all over the place.
And then I can just picture what's her face just like handing trying to hand the figure back to him and just like it being stuck to her hand. Because the glue is just oozing out of it, so she can't hand it back to
him. Yeah, because there's glue everywhere.
It's like on the desk and like covering half her tools and.
Yeah. So like, put me in like a china or like an antique shop, and just have me just gluing back broken things.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, like that would be great. Like have an antique shop setting. And so like, oh, that, I think I need to make a game, y'all. This is the rest of my life.
The thing is, who's breaking the items in the antique shop?
Are you
just sitting there like, hey, it's a slow day. Whoops, that plate just fell.
Whoops. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I guess I just have to glue it back together. I would like the little girl to be fixing, like, to try and glue things back together and have it just be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be fun to start with her. She was a great character, and you know, start with the classic, whatever level popsicle stick sculptures.
Yes.
Introduction to glowing.
God. Macaroni and glitter.
Yeah,
you can make kids crafts.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
To get her started, all right, this is how we glue things. And
I love these ideas. We're thinking of so many game ideas, y'all. Yes. So did you have a favorite character? I know we're kind of blanking on their names, or at least I am.
That's the problem. It's like they weren't, I mean, the game was so short, but they also weren't, I feel like they weren't that memorable because they were such like one dimensional type of characters.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I can't. I was trying to find like something that would have their names, but I'm not seeing it.
Carmen was the one that owned.
Yes, Carmen.
Coffee shop.
Yes, correct. And then, gosh, yeah.
Irene. Her sister began with an H.
Helena? Henrietta? Helena or
yeah.
something?
Helena. Or... Helena. I think it was Helena. Boy, we'd fail a memory test on this game.
Oh, no. I can't, like, that's, like, my worst, like, their names just went over my head. Yeah, I mean, I'm totally into the idea of like the little girl doing crafts and like being able to do those. That sounds like heaven to me.
Because she did. She was left the repair manual, so
she was.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. That's right.
She was. So like that could be us too. If you're listening to this, that can be your second second installment to this game. Assemble with care too. It could be the little girl. Grown up, you could almost have it like throughout her life, like start with like the crafts and then like, okay, now she's a teenager. Now she's fixing like a Walkman. Now she's, you know,
a
tricycle or like somebody said, skateboard, you know, the really basic stuff for kids, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a big wheel.
Yeah. So there you go. Us two games. That's our advice. We've already talked about how long it took us to finish. The art style and the voice acting and the music. How did y'all feel about those?
I really loved the music of the game, and I think that was probably next to the quote unquote puzzles and everything was probably the stronger point of the game itself. I mean the soundtrack was just amazing.
Yeah,
especially the opening and ending itself. It was a nice mix between kind of the not necessarily techno, but it was kind of like vaporwave in a way.
Yeah, it was.
So, but it wasn't like 100% vaporwave. It was like that mixed with like more, I don't want to say contemporary, but more like standard instruments, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I honestly was going to like, what was I listening? I was doing something. I was listening to something else that day. And I was like, oh, I'll just play this game and listen to this at the same time. But then, like, as soon as the game started, I heard, like, the music come up and, like, the voice acting. I was like, oh, no. We have to, like, I have to turn this other thing off. Yeah. Like, you know.
It downloaded the soundtrack for me on Steam.
It did it.
Yeah, nice. I have an icon on my desktop. Assemble with Care soundtrack.
Oh, I think that for me, too.
I think I, yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't download the, I didn't tell it to put a desktop icon.
Yeah, I got the soundtrack as well. I think it came with the,
It might have. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Neat thing. It's a nice
freebie.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked the voice acting as well. I think it was well done. Very crisp and nice to listen to. I've already said how much my ASMR heart enjoyed the
sounds
and things. The Foley work, I guess, to put an old fashioned name to it. Those were nice.
You know, also for just like such a short, short game and everything, just the voice work was really like on point and pretty professionally done as well. Like,
oh, for sure.
Like you wouldn't really expect them to or anyone to really have that well of a polished voice work on something so so small, really. So
right. Yeah. No, I agree. You know, but they've, I mean, this company has had a really good, I mean, with Monument Valley. Monument Valley is a very polished, small, like, games.
I think you can really tell that they had the extra money from those two games to be able to invest in this game here. So,
yeah. And very, you know, short, but a very, and also, like, I didn't mention, but I loved, like, the colors and the art style of the game as well.
Yeah.
I love that they, with, like, the story that happened in between the puzzles, that it was just illustrations and the words.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, like, storybook.
Yes, yeah, it made it like a storybook. They did a really good job with it, and the story itself was very sweet and very, it didn't drag on. There weren't, like, you know, there weren't any moments that I, like, dragged on. It was very short and very sweet, and also left you with an imagination of, like, what, you know, able to use your imagination of, like, what happened with the character afterwards, because, you know, she goes through the story talking about how she misses her parents, or not how she misses her parents, but, like, little things remind her of her parents, and she's like, I haven't talked to them in a while, like, you know, and so the ending, she's like, I think I'm gonna talk to them, I'm gonna call them, and it ends with the phone call, and or even just the beginning of the phone call, and then it cuts out, and then you have the extra bit with Carmen writing to her about fixing the coffee machine, and then you get to, like, fix the coffee machine with Carmen, and I just think it was really cool. I like it. It was tied up in a bow, but it wasn't like, this is the end of the story. Like, you know, like, you can still imagine, like, how she's doing, you know, and also leaves it open to them to do, like, I don't know if the Carmen thing was something they released after, like, later, like, they released the game and then released the extra thing, or if that was just an extra thing they included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But it also left it open for, like, them to add more if they wanted to be like, oh, well, she's getting another letter from the little girl who is fixing this, and then add, like, an extra puzzle or two for that. Yeah, and also had cute little stories for, like, the side characters as well. That it's very touching. It's very touching. There was one part that I actually like teared up in the ending when she called her parents. I just like, I teared up and I was like, oh God, like I'm a mess. Like, and then there was another part that made me tear up as well. And I don't remember which one it was. Huh?
The music box. When the father started singing, that was kind of touching for me.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that was it. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Because it was at the point where, the girl starts humming a song and she was saying how clearly the mother passed away for some
whatever.
Yeah. But the girl's humming a song. She said that her mother used to always sing it to her, but she doesn't remember the words to it. So then you fix a music box because father wants to fix the box to give it to his daughter. So once you get it fixed, you realize that it's playing that song. And then as the song's playing, he's then singing the lyrics to it. So it's like kind of like, oh, now she's finally going to be able to know the words to the song and all that stuff. So it's like coming full circle at that point.
Yeah. It was a very well done short game. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. All right. So anything else we want to talk about before we go into final thoughts and scoring? All right, let's go. Chris, you do the honors of going first.
All right. So I guess I'll start off by saying that not only are you fixing things, but you seem to be fixing relationships. Because that is a whole big kind of theme within the game itself as well, that these people in this little town are also broken. And, you know, that's kind of like one of the big resolutions. Sure.
Sure.
That, you come to find out that, some people have misconceptions of the other people within these relationships, and other people don't really quite know how to approach others. But near the end, through fixing these broken objects, you're able to bring these people closer together. So I think that's kind of a nice, family-friendly, wholesome, just story aspect maybe to it. So so I mean that's just well done. I think could be cheesy to some, but I think it was pretty much, I think it was paced well and it was written well, so it wasn't anything like over the top or eye rolling or anything really like that. So like I said before, the puzzles, They were good. I think they were well thought out, but it was just it just felt a little overcrowded at points. The controls were just got a little frustrating with just rotating and some angles. But other than that, it was really fun. The only problem I had with that is that it like with these types of games is that you start getting into the flow of it and then it just ends, but you're like, I want more of this. Like, give me more. Yeah. Like I'm really starting to get into this and it's like, I want more now. And like, again, with like Monument Valley, it was kind of like the exact same thing. I'm like, I'm really loving this game. And then it ends. And I was like, but I need more of this.
Yeah.
So, but I think that speaks to a kind of a well-developed game at that point too, because it's like, you're having fun. And, that's kind of the whole point of a game, you know?
So it
was a whole lot of fun. It was like a little over an hour, or you know, if you really kind of want to dig into it, it can be a little bit more than that. But what else? It's like I wish there was just a little bit more complexity as you went on. Like, it started to get there, and I think they really hit it with the coffee machine or the espresso machine, whatever you want to call it. Like, that right there was, like, really, like, yes, this is really what I was looking for. But then that was the last puzzle. And then I was disappointed because it was over at that point. Again, voice acting was great. The music is absolutely amazing. If you do get the game on Steam, I don't know about iOS, but it does look like they give you the soundtrack, so it's definitely worth listening to on its own. It would have been even better if there was a dog. I will say a kind of like a note of warning. If you watch the trailer, don't go off the trailer, because there are a few things in the trailer that aren't in the game. And there's also a few things that aren't presented the same way in the trailer that are in the game. So the trailer itself...
Now I'm interested. I didn't watch the trailer.
The trailer itself is a little misleading to what the game actually is. And I think the trailer was kind of like based on an early build or something like that. So it was just kind of like... It's a little confusing because the trailer looks something completely different, and then you play the game and it's like, this is not what I was expecting, but I still enjoyed the game. So, and I did hear a few complaints on that respect too after playing the game. But overall, I wanted to give this game a higher score, but I think because of the controls and everything, and just because I wanted more, I'm gonna give it a 9.
All right, thank you. And next is Frank.
A lot of the stuff that Chris has already covered, as well, enjoyed the music and the voice acting. And the story, the story that went behind all the pieces, sort of invested you in fixing the piece. Same things with the controls, and some of the stuff was a little, but it was merciful in some aspects. Like you couldn't put a part. Well, with the watch they introduced, you could put parts in the wrong place. It would just, like, a lot of the gears could go anywhere. So that's what, that was, I think, the only thing that had that feature. I think everything else, the parts, well, the coffee machine, the pipe.
The record player.
Yeah, the record player, too. The parts could get easily interchanged. But, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the voice acting. 8.5.
All right, awesome. I really enjoyed I really enjoyed the auditory qualities of this game, as well as the style of the art and the gameplay of this game. Enjoyed the puzzles and gluing things together and fixing things, and sometimes the controls could get a little wonky and a bit frustrating here and there, but there was never a point in the game, of course maybe it's because it was so short, there's never a point where I was like, oh, I can't, like, I just need, like, I can't, I, you know, I really hope this gets better, or this is really frustrating. It was just like, oh, okay, I gotta, pick up the screwdriver again. That's a little weird. So never like really actually frustrated me, just kind of a little annoying sometimes. Yeah, voice acting was good. Music was good. The story was really, as I said before, was really tied up in a bow, but kind of also left things to your imagination to where it didn't feel like that they were just cutting it off, which also helps because it leaves the developers some room to kind of add things on if they want to later. Overall, just a really, besides the issues with the controllers and with the control, like... overall, it was a well done game, yeah, I can definitely see that. Like, it's available in the Apple Store, so I can definitely see like how that might be a better medium to experience the game one than through Steam. But it still works and still had a great time. I would give the game, I'll go with a 9. Go with a 9.
Nice.
All right. Well, thank y'all for chatting about that with me. We have a little bit of a change in schedule for next week. So we had Ace Attorney 2 actually scheduled for Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Game 2 scheduled for today. But last week we kind of were like, a couple weeks ago, we were like, I don't think that we're going to be able to make that happen. So we pushed that to next week in the slot of Yakuza 0 because we were like, we're definitely not going to get that one played because none of us has started. And that's a really long game. And Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Game 2 is not as a long game as Yakuza 0, but still a longish game. And we've kind of reached a point to where we're a week from it, and a few of us have not even started the game. So instead of, again, like I said last week, instead of hitting our heads against a wall and trying to make it work and hating ourselves by next Tuesday, we've decided that we're going to put it another 1 week game in the slot instead for next week. And then hopefully after that, we'll be back on schedule with what's up on our, what's up on our website. There'll be, there might be another change coming down the line in November when the third game for Phoenix Wright was scheduled. We'll probably drop that and put another 1 weeker in that or something. So next week we're talking about Tiny Echo is the game that we're kind of sliding in there. Like you slide into DMs. It was released back in August of 2017, developed and published by Might and Delight. I think it's only available for Steam, I think. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it does say it's available for Mac and PC. So, but it is on Steam. So check it out there if you're interested. And a little summary of the game. This is from Steam. Explore this lovingly crafted world with all its odd inhabitants as you deliver messages to the spirits. Make your mark in the wordless narrative with a tiny echo. I'm super intrigued. It looks like a cool art style, and I'm interested to play it for sure. If you want more Game Chat, you can find us over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat. Or search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or email us adorable pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're chatting about Tiny Echo. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye.